Turuntuset tulee Joonael.
And today we will talk about how to do PR in Russia. To introduce the topic, I would say that PR is something a lot of companies consider when entering Russian or any other foreign market. Because we Estonians are used to a small society and to the fact that it's not difficult to become good friends with journalists, and we rather easily get mentioned in news if the product or service is somehow innovative or somehow different. But when going to a foreign market, we are often surprised that it's much more difficult to get any attention. Journalists there cannot or do not want usually to write about our products because they consider this as advertising. And my first question to you, Natalia, is what are the ways to overcome this?
Well, of course, there are ways to overcome this. And basically, when I'm preparing for this conversation, I realized that the first idea that I should mention is the foreign market that we're talking about. Normally, the main mistake that the companies are making when they enter the foreign market is they try to behave similar way that they behave on the local or home market. So basically, the rules of communicating with journalists on any other market except home market would be different. And we have to keep that in mind, no matter where you go. And of course, for Estonia, a relatively small country to Russia, that's of course a challenge. And the biggest challenge in Russia is that if you go to different regions of Russia, you would face the same challenge. For example, companies from smaller cities like neighboring Pskov would probably have similar difficulties going out to St. Petersburg or Moscow market, depending, of course, of the size of the media market as well. But yes, there are ways to go. And I would say that the only way to go to those journalists and dress them properly is to actually ask whatever they want to write about, because normally we consider journalists as people that we want something from, right? We want publications, we want free coverage, etc. But why don't we consider them as another target group and ask ourselves, what do they want from us? What can we offer them? And basically what they need is new, reliable information on daily basis, normally, that their subscribers who read it would be happy to read. So one way to find out is to ask, maybe in a personal meeting if possible, and then try to build a long relationship with some good, successful stories of publications. I can say that I've had several of such stories in my experience, and when the task was given to me by my boss in my time when I worked not in my own company but for the IT company, was to have publications in Vedomosti, which is one of the largest business media in Russia. And well, that was the task. We want to be in Vedomosti, and what do? I grabbed a ticket to the train to Moscow, and I meet the journalist, I talk with them, I ask what they want, and I offer the topic. And basically, it was not advertising at all. It was not. I could offer them the topic that was trendy, that was sort of nice to talk about, and we could provide some analytical information for this, and they mentioned us in the article, which was absolutely free. The only cost is my time and train ticket.
Natalia, what was it exactly? Could you recall it?
Yeah, sure. It was the company called Burkert. It's still existing and successfully working, an IT company. And it provides solutions for largest mobile operators. And of course, there are many providers like Burkert on the market. So definitely, they wouldn't print us for money. So
what was the idea?
The idea of the trend, you mean?
Yes, yes. What they really wanted from you?
Well, it was cell broadcast technology, new technology at that time, which was really just starting in Russia, and it was promising very big income to operators, and it does bring this income now. But at that time, Berkut was barely the only company in Russia who had this specific solution for that, and we had analytics for that, you know, that could show numbers and predictions of how the market would go. Because Berkut at that time, well, it now still is not the company that Vedomosti would normally write about. It doesn't have large connections on the high level. It doesn't make deals of billions of dollars. So actually, that's what Vedomosti is mostly interested in. So we ended up with an article in Vedomosti in the IT section, describing the trend and several operators, clients of Berkut, giving their opinions on that. And there was only one comment from Berkut saying the prognosis of the development of the solution. None of their competitors were mentioned. So I think that was a success. And there are other examples of that, of the similar penetration into media, I would call it that way. You probably know Expert, another big business media. And we did the same way. We made acquaintances with the journalists writing on our topics. And when they needed comments on our topic, we gave it to them in short time, very reliable and honest and direct. So.
But Natalia, now when you think about the foreign context, for instance, we Estonian go to probably to the same newspapers, I don't know, to Vedomosti, for instance, and try to make acquaintances. Do you think it will work the same way? Would it be okay to call them to say that, hello, I have a train ticket now, I'm coming to meet you and discuss what information would be interesting from us? Or do you think it's more complicated for foreigners?
Well, honestly speaking, I think the only trouble is there is communication problem, language barrier, if there is a mentality barrier. You have to be ready for the meeting in any way. You have to know what this media is writing about. You have to be aware what this particular person you're talking to is in charge of. And you have to have like some topic ready to discuss. It's not only, okay, why don't we meet and talk bird talk, you know. You have to have something already in your mind. So, honestly, I don't think there is a problem to meet the journalists. They think of them as the persons who are constantly in search of new information. And if you will come to them and say, okay, why don't you write about our company? That will be okay, that's not going to help. But if you come and say, okay, I have a valuable information, I know how the market goes, I can give you this information, in what way would it be better for you to have it? That's a different approach.
But how often will it happen in Russia that it's okay, it's good to talk to a journalist and maybe even the topic is interesting you're providing, but then they tell you that, oh, as you are not our advertising client, as you are not paying for us in any ways, then it's really difficult to write about your company or about your product.
Well, again, this is journalists from business media, at least. I'm talking about business media here, right? Because the industry media, different story. That can be different trick there. But if we're talking about business media, journalists are always in search of new information. And they will be ready to meet you because maybe there could be advertising opportunities as well, but they don't know yet. They still want reliable suppliers of the information. It's their job to get this information. So I guess the media who value their reputation will not ask for money for that. Because on the other hand, if you pay it once, you're going to be paying for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Media.
So I think it's a matter of personal approach and communication and knowing this person that you're going to meet. Find some information about them, maybe give a compliment on the job they've done recently. They will appreciate it. I mean, we're all humans after all, right?
Absolutely. But you told that it's different in the trade media. What tricks do you use there?
Well, if I may ask, so. Media,
or industry yeah. media, yeah.
Well, they work in, with advertising much more. And my experience, for example, with working with energy media, IT, and construction media, for example, who write just on these topics, you know, industry topics, they are mostly supported by advertising. So it's much more difficult to get in there with a good article without buying some advertising space as well. So this is different.
Okay.
You always have to keep that in mind. I mean, you can get there, but it's something that's going to be more successful if you have a little budget for advertising as well. And it may not be direct printing of advertisements in this magazine. You could participate in some of the events that this magazine or newspaper is organizing, that you would pay for organization or for some other expenses that they bear, and that will lead to some of your mentioning in the magazine.
So you mean that the budget does not... In one of our radio shows compared to how much media is more expensive in Russia compared to Estonia, and I think the difference was about, I don't know, between 15 or 20 times, so it's a really huge difference. Considering the high prices in Russia, do I understand you correctly that it is possible to have lower costs by participating in campaigns of the media, and you don't need to pay the full price of advertising to get some articles and coverage for free?
It might. I cannot say that like as a rule.
Okay.
But you might want to be creative, and that will save you some money if you will offer something different for the magazine, knowing their needs, of course. They can offer you that.
Okay. Is it the same thing, for instance, with the lifestyle media?
Oh, lifestyle is a different story again. It's like
okay.
a third big block. Because with them it's much more difficult to work on PR basis, because they know that everyone wants to have their audience.
Okay.
And normally you would have to pay to get in there, but again, I know the stories here in St. Petersburg that people were getting in the magazines without any pay, with quite large articles that normally other people would pay for, but it all based on some partnerships and barter that you exchange information and some other services.
Okay.
Natalia, yes, continue.
Does that answer your question? I'm just trying to
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. It did, of course, I understand. Raul, you had a question?
Yes, I just wanted to ask straightly, you were talking about this lifestyle magazines, for example, and lifestyle media, and then you said that most of people pay for it. How expensive is it?
Well, I guess I'm not ready to answer that question right away, because it will all depend on the amount of the advertising volume that you're about, that you're buying, on advertising volumes, basically, right? On the media and how many subscribers they have.
Okay. Do you have anything in your mind from your experience that a smaller company or a smaller person or something that is not, like we are Estonians, poor people here, could achieve anything there?
I wouldn't want you to scare with figures.
Okay.
They are scary, of course.
Really, I've been trying to figure out about a year ago I normally don't consider paid publications, but we tried to get into the Life magazine. I'm not going to mention which one, but it was like a fortune. It's like, no, we could use that money much better, you know.
Okay.
My general advice would be to go for advertising and paid publications, or paid, not publications, okay, erase that. PR shouldn't say so. But for paid advertisement in lifestyle magazines, Only if you have a rather big budget, so that you would be seen several times, and maybe compile it with other channels of promotion. So only one publication, which could be relatively cheap and affordable, won't do the thing.
Okay, but Natalia, I just want to ask, I've never tried and I have no experience, what about TV in Russia? What kind of story is there? Is it the same thing that you need to buy advertising, airtime, or any other ways that could work?
Well, I think it works a bit differently with TV. In my experience, that works differently. Of course, if you're a big company and you're buying lots of media, I'm sorry, can we rewrite it? I have to get.
Yeah, of course we can. We put Mark here, so just start anytime it's suitable.
Something in my throat. Okay, I'm back.
No problem, yeah.
So the TV situation is different as well. It's another thing to consider. They will show up on the nice events that would be interesting for many people, and then of course it takes a lot of effort to get into the list of their trips during the day, because you will have to compete with the certain other events that are happening in the city. Like, for example, if there's a big event in the city, like some celebration or a festival that attracts many famous people, or economical forum, which we have regularly, or some other cultural events, you will be a much less priority and every media will be there. Normally, you wouldn't have to pay for showing up on the TV unless you have really, if you have really close relationship with some journalists there that will be ready to do an information on you, do a shoot on you, without any advertising. If your news is really valuable, I mean, if you're okay, let me put it straight. If you're opening a restaurant, they won't go there without money. If you're advertising a hotel, they won't go there without money, that's for sure. But if you're making some large event where there's lots of fun, lots of people, you know, really interesting program, and it has
human interest. It's called human interest, yeah?
Yeah, and it would have some social impact in this, or maybe charity part, you know, something that people would really want to see on TV, not within it, like not feeling like the commercial block has been extended to the news, you know?
Okay.
So this is a different story. And, the numbers, if you're paying someone to arrive to your event, then they will show whatever they feel like showing. And then I know that in order to have the right angle, that's different money always.
Okay. Very interesting.
It comes all to euros and dollars.
Yeah.
Other foreign currencies.
Yeah, okay. But is there any difference between the topics? Are there some things that get coverage more easily than the others? More kind of interesting things or connected to trends?
Mm-hmm. Well, you caught me with the trend thing, because actually, people are very tired of communication noise, and especially in the big cities. Imagine how many communication channels are bursting with all types of information. So it's always difficult to promote any study programs, and that comes to all the media. It's always difficult to ask them to write about this. It's difficult to have prints about certain local stories. It's always much more easier to write about trends and some innovative things. Or, of course, cross-border communication is now in more demand, because this is a global trend to write about this. So something that doesn't have an advertising context, but more like a value to the readers, you know? So even if you're writing about, well, let's say, the hotel business, the restaurant business, you can mention some figures that no one else has, for example. That's what will be attractive to the journalists.
We in Estonia here think that it's possible to ask journalists to visit us, and then afterwards they will write about articles. My challenge has often been that even if I get people visiting, it's very difficult to really get them writing afterwards. Do you have any suggestions, any comments about that?
Well,
even if you are paying for this visit,
If I kind of buy the tickets and kind of do anything here to welcome them.
I understand this, and especially if you're talking about business media, it's probably going to be like that.
I even talk about lifestyle media, so lifestyle. I understand that it's much more challenging.
Well, I've had an experience when, actually the same company, Birkett, which I've already mentioned, when we were launching an office in Johannesburg in Republic of South Africa, we wanted to have a coverage in media, and we actually invited some journalists along to visit with us to RSA, and well, of course, we took all the expenses on our behalf. And well, the thing is that you have to agree about some publications not afterwards, but beforehand. You could talk this through, and well, at this point, you will already understand, will they be able to pull this through their editor-in-chief, or maybe they're just taking advantage of the free trip, let me put it straight, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're ready to do some coverage, they will ask you precise questions beforehand. For example, they will ask what's important for this particular media to write about, and that will help you to build a better program for them, to give them nice angles for the photos, for example, if they need to get them to meet some people which you didn't plan to put in the program before, and actually agree with them beforehand and mark the dates when this is going to be out, and they normally stick to that. And
okay.
For example, with this trip with RSA, one of the journalists was very responsible, and we were in such a rush within a trip and afterwards to close the project and go on with the new project. So that he reminded me a couple of times, okay, I'm ready. Why don't you revise it and we'll print it? So it was like that. And I also wanted to say that why don't you go up to not only journalists but also bloggers? There are many bloggers in Russia with lots of followers, and these people are much more easy to get to travel because they are more free to go, and also they publish it on their web pages, even being at the spot right there. They could write a report, a diary on the trip. And with bloggers you have to be careful, because of course they will include something that probably you wouldn't want to be there, but they have to be objective. They have to give some minuses as well, which make their story more honest, more direct. That's probably my advice.
Yeah. I think it's a good suggestion. I also ask is there any difference in media depending on the nation? Because is it okay to be Estonian in Russian media, or would it have some kind of either negative or positive context, or would it be better to present us as part of European Union and not paying special attention to the country we came from? What is your feeling?
Well, I can be honest here, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
No, Raul.
always. Sorry.
Well, I think it will depend a lot on the region where you go and on the timing. For example, if you go to a region called like Moscow, maybe it is better to show as a European Union part, because they will want something bigger to work with. And they might think that if it's Estonian company, then we could get it cheaper.
Okay.
It's just my presumption, right? I'm just fantasizing right on the spot with my experience. And if you go to St. Petersburg, then it might be good to say, okay, we're just, you know, we're almost local. We are almost, well, don't be offended here, I'm joking, but we're almost like a suburb of St. Petersburg, so close we are.
Okay.
We're right there.
Okay.
And that would be an advantage for some people to come and visit, especially when we talk about tourist business.
Wow.
And doing some business with a local company in Estonia.
It's a really good, Natalia, it's a really good positioning. I never thought that we could be kind of suburb of St. Petersburg, but putting it that way, I really do understand. Thank you.
Yeah, you have to keep the regional moment in mind. But the other way is timing. And of course, we know the politicians make it difficult sometimes, and especially when it comes somewhere around the celebration of the winning of the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
This timing could be difficult to start the business in May. And we all know what we're talking about here. So the time and the place should be considered very carefully. But if you keep all those things in mind, generally, for example, in St. Petersburg, I know people consider Estonians a very welcoming nation. The people that would always give a warm welcome at home and open in communication. So I think that's a good start.
Okay, but as a concrete example, we often hear in our talk show talk about small Estonian companies, either exporters or different companies connected to tourism. And my very concrete question is that if a restaurant that is in Tallinn would want to get visitors from St. Petersburg, what are the main, I don't know, the first three things they should do?
Well, first of all, get a menu in Russian.
Okay. Okay.
Second one is... I would suggest this restaurant to think about what differs this particular restaurant from many other attractions in Tallinn. Why would people want to go there? What is attraction point for the visitors there? And that could be formulated very precisely. Like, we are the heart of Tallinn, where you could eat all the, I don't know, 30 or 40 types of traditional Estonian food and drink those hot wines, 40 types that you could never buy anywhere else in Tallinn. Something that, you know, people would come back from Tallinn and say, okay, I've been there and this is the only place where you could get it. So that will spread the word for you. So this positioning will help them to think of other ideas. And my other suggestion would be, try to work out routes, maybe with some tour companies that bring clients already, tourists to Tallinn, you know, to put your restaurant on the route map. Maybe make a theme for the routes, like the oldest places of Tallinn, or the trendy places, or design places of Tallinn, or water in Tallinn. Something, you know, that would give the topic and something that would bring people to, you know, in one big route, so that it makes complete as a package to them. Am I being vague here?
No, I do understand. But would it, I don't know, would you suggest them to use any PR to try to reach the newspapers and magazines in St. Petersburg? Or would it be better that you say that, okay, it's probably too costly for you, try to use the other ways, reaching directly your clients, not building any, I don't know, reputation in media at all?
Well, it depends on how big is the restaurant and how big their ambitions are. I mentioned the points that could bring results right away. I mean, if you work out the good route with the tour company, they put it on their list. Every tourist which comes here, they will, you know the way to the restaurant. And I mean, you could contact Ecolines or any other carriers and spread out information about the restaurant and the buses, and that shouldn't be expensive, I think. But if you're talking about the long shot, yes, I would suggest to do that. You could work with the tour guides, printed and online, like TripAdvisor. People are reading a lot about this, especially travelers from the big cities. They're exploring the place where they want to go, especially if they go with families. And as far as I know, it's not too difficult. It takes time, but it's not too difficult to get in the tour guides like Lonely Planet, Rough Guide. So you just, and if you were there, imagine how many people will read about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Natalia, have you been to Tallinn?
Yeah, I've been lucky to be there, and I've been meeting there one of the New Year's, and it's been a while ago, I think 8 years ago or so.
What is the most specific or interesting thing you as a Russian from St. Petersburg would promote if you would be an Estonian? What the Russians, or you especially, what is interesting for you?
Well, I'm afraid it's been too long ago to mention something specific. I think lots of things have changed, but I like generally the welcoming of the city myself. I almost didn't feel the difference because everyone spoke Russian, even though I don't actually need it, but still. And there was this festive time of the year, so it all was like with love in the air. So it's, I think I have to renew my experience before I would say something more specific here. Sorry.
No problem. You can do it when you visit here our conference on Thursday, so you can renew the memories, and then we'll probably ask it again.
And I'm Raul looking
will
forward
get
to that.
Raul will get the better answer.